I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Yeah, what would you like? Usually my drink was give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
This is The Jesse Kelly Show.
Feel like everything is upside down right now. Do you feel that way? You're looking around and you think, well, I think that's good and everybody says that's bad. I think this is right, but everyone seems to say it's wrong. This bad person's getting a promotion. This good person's getting torn to shreds. And everything seems upside down. Do you know why you feel like that right now? I will explain it here in just a few. We're going to talk about the House of Representatives introducing articles of impeachment today. We're going to talk about our national enemies educating your kids. We have a hilarious email story off of Friday's show. And we have a, well, just go create your own social media company, right? That's what we're told a lot. I don't know if you, as conservatives, get run off the traditional big tech platforms. Go create your own. Go create your own. Well, someone did, and I'll tell you how that's going and why it's going that way. But first, briefly, because I have so much other stuff I have to get to today on a Monday. Let us begin in the Soviet Union. This story is going to be a little unique today, and then I'm really going to try to keep it brief. I got two guests. I got all these other things. One, that's one of the things that's going to make it unique. Another thing is it's pretty recent. This took place in 1986. And Chris and I have actually dumped stories that we've wanted to do before because they're too recent. The history segment needs to be a history segment. But I was alive for this one. I mean, granted, I was five. I didn't know what was going on, but I was alive. Almost undoubtedly, you were alive for this one. Talking about that famous name. If I say the word nuclear disaster, what does every single person on the planet think about? Chernobyl. That's the one, right? People walking around with 10 arms. 10 million people died, so on and so forth. Of course, none of that's true. And we're going to try to unpack a couple things today in the why and the what. But Chernobyl. Now, let's do a brief little lead up to what was happening at that point in time with America, with the Soviet Union, because their fates, especially then, not as much now, but especially then, their fates were very much intertwined. They were tied together. And we have to go all the way back to World War II to get this thing done. Joseph Stalin is the communist dictator in charge of the Soviet Union, obviously, World War II. You know the story. We feed them a whole bunch of materials, but the Soviets did very well for themselves as well when it comes to materials go. They didn't have enough to defeat the Nazis, but we helped them out. They got over the top, and they end up, because our own president, FDR, made a huge mistake, intentional decision, to allow the Soviets to take Berlin. Remember, Churchill wanted to take Berlin. He told America, it's important we do not allow Stalin to take Berlin. We must take Berlin. You do not understand what a threat the Soviets are. FDR, because he was half a commie himself, decided he wanted to land our guys elsewhere. He did. Our guys landed somewhere virtually meaningless. The Soviets took Berlin. And from there, you got East and West Germany and a really, really, really rough time for Eastern Europe for quite some time. But something else happened at the end of World War II. It wasn't just this communist madman dictator taking Berlin, deciding he's going to go ahead and set up shop in Eastern Europe. Stalin takes it, looks around, and says, I like it here. I think I'll stay. We also did something in World War II. We dropped a nuclear bomb. Maybe you've heard of them. Two of them, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, we are going to talk a lot today about the mentality of a leftist, the mentality of a Marxist, a communist, whatever you want to call them, but they are all one and the same, and they all share this mentality, and this is something we've talked about before. But Joseph Stalin, the communists of the Soviet Union, he didn't, at the end of World War II, he didn't have the greatest army in the world, which he probably did at the time, and half of Europe to himself, and he didn't sit back and look and say, you know, that's enough for me. I don't think we want anymore. Are you guys happy with this? I'm happy with this. I think we should stop here. Because that's not how leftists think. And if it sounds like I'm being emphatic about that, because you must understand the mentality of your enemy if you're ever going to defeat them. Leftism is not a political ideology. It is not about politics. It is a religion of domination. They worship it. They will die for it. They will kill for it and have many, many, many millions of times. And they will consider themselves 100% justified and morally right while they do so. That's how Joseph Stalin felt. That's how Mao felt. That's how Pol Pot felt. And I'm sorry if this is a bitter pill to swallow. I am. That's how the American left feels too. They're not different because they're leftists. They're held back because of some cultural things we have in place here. They haven't been able to advance like others have, but you are not an actual human being to them. You are the devil fighting against their God. You must understand that. Stalin was the same way. He's sitting there at the end of World War II, great army, got all this new territory, and Stalin's thinking, but America has the nuclear bomb. And remember how world-changing this... Try to imagine how world-changing this would be. You and I can't put ourselves in these shoes because, yes, there's always some new weapons technology out there. I mean, there's stuff out there now you and I don't even know about. This stuff, there's always something new, but there hasn't been something that new, well, ever. But I guess maybe you could say firearms. Like the first firearms, first guns out there, maybe you could say that would be an advance like that. But the world had never seen a bomb that could level an entire city. The world, that thing, before it existed, it's not something people considered could exist. And what's wild about it, put yourself in this mindset. We had just had a world war where the various countries were routinely bombing cities of the enemy nation. Only you would go bomb them over and over and over again. You send 8 trillion bombers ahead, and you hope 10 or 12 actually hit, and it takes time after time. And so it's not like bombing a city was abnormal then. It was something that had been going on. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the war, poof, mushroom cloud. Wait, I'm sorry, that was one bomb? Did you say that was one bomb and the entire city is gone? Now, setting aside the American point of view of why we did it and all that, pause for a moment and think how the other powerful nations around the world, including our friends, how they're looking at us right now. I'll explain what I mean by how they're looking at us before I get to Trump getting impeached again and my thoughts on that. Hang on.
Like and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
Natural medicine, holistic healing approaches. These things are known to help alleviate the things that plague us all. And all of us have something, right? Anxiety, sleeplessness, joint pain. That's why I've chosen CBD. I prefer natural solutions, not man-made, natural solutions. But which CBD do you pick? They're everywhere, right? You look around, there's a new CBD on every corner. There's a new shop. Well, Doctors Trusted CBD Company made that easy. They researched the whole industry and found the best ones. And that's what you'll find at DoctorsTrustedCBD.com. Go to DoctorsTrustedCBD.com. Use the promo code Jesse. That'll get you 5% off and a free lip balm. And just know this. You have a variety of products to choose from there. Muscle cream, lip balm. You have the full spectrum CBD oil. DoctorsTrustedCBD.com, promo code Jesse.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
We're going to talk to Michael Malice, who I'm sure has a lot to say about the, what are they calling it? The insurrection at the Capitol last week. So Michael Malice is coming up next hour, giving my thoughts on impeachment today. But back to Russia. Back to the rest of the world. We have to try to understand this mindset, because I'm going to try to put you and I in the mindset of a dirty Soviet commie today. But in all seriousness, the rest of the world, they watched the United States of America not only become, remember, we weren't probably quite yet the most powerful nation in the world at the beginning of World War II. We certainly were by the end of it, and everybody knew it. And then they all watch us destroy 2 cities with one bomb. Well, one bomb per city. Friends and enemies alike who saw themselves as powerful nations were scared to death. Scared to death. The history of the world, the absolute history of the world. How many stories have you and I talked about where one little advancement in weapons technology that you have, that your neighbor state doesn't have, can mean the end of your existence? Remember how Philip II of Macedonia, Alexander the Great's father, remember how he took over all the Greek city-states, virtually all of them, dominated all of Greece? Remember? His spears were a little longer. Wait, what? Oh, yeah, no, we don't want 7 to 10-foot spears. Let's make 20-foot spears. Oh, okay. Boom, all of Greece gone. That's just a tiny example, but it's true. You don't, as a nation, ever want to fall behind in a race to have the best weapons. You just don't. It's one of the things I struggle with when it comes to military spending to this day in the United States of America. You know, I'm a huge debt hawk, deficit hawk. I don't talk about it much on the show because nobody else in the country cares about it. I'm not going to bore you to death with it. When the debt train gets here, you're all going to care about it. But until something actually happens that people can see and feel and taste, then no one thinks it's a problem. Believe me, it's a big problem. But either way, be that as it may, it's one of the things I struggle with. I'm a huge debt hawk. I'm a huge deficit hawk. I don't actually believe we have to have the absurd amount of military spending we currently do have. Don't get me wrong, I think we need a strong military. But I'm much more of a smaller standing army guy. However, it is an undeniable fact. You're always looking at these numbers, a billion here, a billion on this plane, a trillion here. You're looking at these numbers and they're jaw-dropping numbers. You don't want to fall behind China or you're in trouble. You don't want to fall behind Russia when it comes to technology and you're in trouble. So that was a long way of saying Stalin, the Soviets in general, looked at that nuclear bomb and said, oh, we're getting one of those for sure. And as they began to really dig in and steal our nuclear technology, something else began to pop up. It was more than just nuclear weapons. Nuclear power. And remember, a lot of this stuff is really new and really fresh, and they're trying to figure out who can do what with what. What can nuclear power do? Let's bring in the smartest people. Let's figure it out. Are we talking about powering a light bulb for an hour? Are we going to power a city? Are we going to power a country? Is it dangerous? Is it not dangerous? But part of the Soviets' plan moving forward was we are going to be a nuclear-powered nation. They became absolutely obsessed with becoming a nuclear-powered nation. One, they thought it made them look really good and really advanced. And two, they never wanted to fall behind us. It's funny. It's part of what actually doomed the commie Soviet Union. In the end, they were always trying to keep up with us. And their economy, because it was a communist economy and not a capitalist economy, their economy could never produce enough for them to keep up with the Joneses. And that came into play when they began building things like the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, and really all their power plants. The Chernobyl one was just the one that went bad. You see, the Soviets, when they're building a nuclear power plant, they don't have endless resources. But they want it done. They want the power plant. They want it done quickly. They want it done perfectly. And you better get done right. But no, we don't have money for that or that. Oh, no, we certainly don't have money for that. Oh, not that or that. No. Get it done, though. It has to work. And that's how it started to work there. That's how these plants were getting built. Nuclear power plants getting built with cost cutting here and cost cutting there. And sooner or later, you're the Soviet Union, and you're sitting on nuclear power plants, and they're producing power, and it's okay, but what you're really sitting on is, quite literally, a ticking time bomb. Now, I'm about to try to pronounce the name of this town, Papirit. I've heard it pronounced 9,000 ways as I tried to figure out how to say the stupid word, but just know that's the town close to the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. The town was not called Chernobyl. We're just going to call it all Chernobyl for today, but just know the town had a different name, one I'm not going to attempt to pronounce again. So let's get to what actually happened that night. But first, this is going to get a little bit gross. As you know, that happens from time to time on the show. I don't do that as some love of gore. I don't have some love of gore. I do that because I think when we describe things in detail, certain things, I think it makes the story more real. It always has to me. Yeah, it's gruesome, but I mean, don't tell me if somebody died. Well, how did he die? Put me in the story more. Help me understand what people were going through more. So let's talk for a brief moment about acute radiation syndrome. Now, remember we talked on Friday? We actually got a funny email about this. I'm going to read a little later on in the show. Remember we talked about on Friday, somebody wanted to know which was the worst way to die, scaphism or the blood eagle? If you're curious what those two horrific things are, make sure you go listen to Friday's show. It was a hilarious Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Chris puts the podcasts up of every single show on iHeart, Google, Spotify, on iTunes. We got a couple new iTunes reviews. You guys are the best. But if you're curious about that discussion, scaphism versus the blood eagle, you can go listen to that. I will say, assuming you listened on Friday and know what scaphism is or know what the blood eagle is, if you were to add in dying of acute radiation syndrome, I don't know that it wouldn't be on the bottom of my list of ways I want to go. I'm not making that up. It looks and sounds ugh. Buckle up, boys and girls. We're going to talk about that briefly when we get back and then go over the story quickly that night before we talk about your enemies are educating your children. Hang on. New year, new you. Don't you just hate phrases like that? It's not you. It's the same you. But it is a time we should all be improving on something, right? And I'm going to shoot you straight here. I have heart problems in my family. All throughout my family, I have heart problems. And I'm approaching 40. The time is not 10 years from now, 20 years from now. The time is right now. I have to start taking care of my heart. I have to start looking after my cardiovascular health. That's why I use Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews. Just two per day. Two per day give you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy you need to be the best you can. Shouldn't we all do that? Go to superbeats.com/Jesse. When you go there, you get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Heart Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of their new delicious flavor, Super Grapes. Oh, yeah. Did you know Twitter, social media, they are cracking down on Trump and anybody else who did anything to, quote, support the violence and the insurrection? You know they did that? And you know Twitter's CEO gave Colin Kaepernick $3 million after he praised the Black Lives Matter riots? Remember what the question I asked at the beginning of the show today? Do you feel like everything's upside down right now? Good is bad, right is wrong. I'm going to explain why it feels that way here shortly. Don't forget, you can follow me on social media until I get kicked off. And I'm not joking about that. I'll be gone very soon, I'm sure. On Twitter at @JesseKellyDC, Instagram at @JesseKellyDC. I'm also on Parler, not that that's doing any good right now. Facebook. And then once all that's gone, I think I'm going to go ahead and start a Locals account because I don't think they can bounce me from there. I'm actually not kidding. But, all right, you ready? Put down that sandwich. You may need a moment. Acute radiation syndrome. It's awful. Absolutely awful. Okay, let's say you're exposed, and this is what the people went through there. You're exposed to a fatal amount of radiation. It begins with nausea. There were guys there, some of the guys who died at Chernobyl, which we'll get to in a couple minutes, were vomiting on site already. Your skin turning red. You know, it's basically burnt. And then you get yourself out of the situation. And what's so wild about this, this is what almost creeps me out the most about it. The symptoms often will go away. You will have been very sick, you know, headache too, and then you're fine for a little bit. And it's almost as if, and I am not saying this is medically sound, this is just my own weird, lame community college guess at it. It's almost as if it just absorbs its way into your body instead of showing on the outside, as it kind of goes away, and then it doesn't go away. Then it comes back, and it comes back so badly. Your skin will get red again, and then your skin will turn black. I would highly recommend, unless you're one of those people, I would highly recommend you do not Google image search acute radiation syndrome. The skin turns black. It blisters. There's no other way I can describe this. It essentially, the radiation poison, is breaking your body down and, in some cases, burning it from the inside out. And I don't mean over the course of 15 minutes. It takes some time to die as your body breaks down. Your body is, you know, the biggest organ in your body is your skin, they say. Your skin begins to split open as the cells break down and your body is oozing out of it. I'm sorry, I realize this is difficult to hear, but it is just that bad. They have a difficulty giving you pain medication to ease the agony because, and I will stop after this because we've had quite enough of this for the moment, they have a hard time getting you pain medication because your veins split open on the inside and it comes out. It is not a great way to die. Let's just stop there. Now, let's go to Chernobyl. Here's what happened. They were constantly running tests, the Soviet Union was, on their nuclear power plants. And I know what you're thinking. Well, of course they would run tests. You have to make sure everything is safe for the workers and safe for the surrounding citizens. No, no, that's not why they ran tests. Soviets, because they're leftists, Soviets don't place a priority on individual human lives. The state is everything. The survival of the state, the pride of the state, the security of the state. And the Soviet Union was in a state of mind throughout the Cold War that you and I may have been getting wrong for a long time. We have enough info out there now, we know this to be true. When I think of the Cold War, when I think of the Communist Soviet Union, I think about the relentless aggression, putting missiles, nuclear missiles in Cuba, moving into this satellite country or that satellite country, constantly funding and backing this communist insurgency somewhere, Vietnam, this place, constantly involved. And those things are all true, right? But you need to understand, the Soviet Union, especially the higher-ups in the Soviet Union, one, they were well aware they were not able to match America's economic and therefore military output. They knew that while we like to think of the big Russian grizzly bear, they knew they were in fact very much the little brother in this situation. They knew that. That is not something they talk about it all the time. They knew they were the little brother, and they were constantly worried about that fact being exposed. They wanted the world to think, well, it's us in America. Us in America. We're basically neck and neck. Just two superpowers doing superpower stuff with their superpower stuff. They were constantly projecting that image to the world because it helped them maintain their communist influence over the places that they had come to dominate. They were worried about their nuclear plants, the security of their nuclear plants, because they were worried about an enemy bombing one of them and what exactly that would mean. Nobody really knew what that would mean. So let's get to the nerd out spot. This is for the nerds here for a moment. And this is going to be the ultimate layman's explanation of this. Why? No, it's not because I'm dumbing it down for you. It's because I don't know anything more than this. I did the best I could to dig through a bunch of stuff, trying to figure out the actual workings of how these things go. And I'm twice as confused now as I was when I started. Just know this. One, nuclear power actually sounds really cool. It's just steam. It's just they found a way to create enough heat to give us the steam we needed for power. It's just more advanced steam power, which is kind of wild. That's one. Two, I want you to picture, and this applies to Chernobyl. This may not even apply anymore, but I want you to picture Chernobyl. I want you to picture a gigantic circle in the ground. You're looking at a huge manhole cover is what it looks like. Huge. And this gigantic circle was actually made of a bunch of squares as you're looking down on this big manhole cover. And these squares each have a circle in the center of it. All right, that's what you're looking at. You're above, you're looking down at that. You got it pictured in your mind? Well, what the little circle is actually a fuel rod. That fuel rod goes way deep into the ground. All of them do. And that is pretty much going to end any technical specifics I give you right now on nuclear power. But all that was actually true. Now, things get kind of complicated at the plant, and I'll tell you why they get complicated when we get back. As I wrap this story up, we get to impeaching the president and a bunch of other stuff today. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Now let's go to the Chernobyl power plant on the night of. Remember, we're going to talk about them impeaching Trump tech bans all over the place. I'm getting worrisome texts and emails from people. Hang tough. Look, remember something before we finish up our Chernobyl story today. We are going to make sure we talk about what's right, talk about what's wrong in an unafraid way for the next 4 years, no matter what happens. That's not because I have some unique level of bravery. It's because I happen to luck out and fall in with the best radio stations and the best TV network in the country who let me say whatever I want. I have never once, and it is well known out there in the radio world that I am a bit edgier, I guess you would say. I have never once been told not to say this anymore. Do this, don't do that. That is amazing in this industry. They just haven't done it. It's actually really funny. I don't want to get sidetracked. You'll love this story. I don't think I told Jewish producer Chris this yet, so everybody might as well find out at one time. So I'm not going to bore you with the details, but this person, fairly high up in the radio industry, very high up actually in the radio industry, likes my show a lot. And another high up in the radio industry went to the person who liked my show and said, "So you like Jesse Kelly? I've never heard his show. What's it about?" And apparently the higher up who loves my show just stared at this guy blinking. He's the one who relayed me the story. He said, just stared at me blinking for a few seconds and then said, "I don't really know." But it's really good. I've never been more flattered in my entire life. Anyway, just know we're going to keep saying the uncomfortable truths out there. We're not going to stop. We're not. But we're also going to keep laughing. We have to. If this thing, if politics, which is something you love, something you're passionate about, it's something I love, something I'm passionate about. If it becomes all-consuming for us, especially with all the bad stuff that's about to come, if it becomes all-consuming, then do you really want to waste 4 years of your life, 8 years of your life, miserable? You shouldn't. I shouldn't. That's unhealthy. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I could get there too. I've had moments since the election where I woke up like, oh, this is really not good. Everything sucks. Whoa, snap out of it. It's enough of that. We're going to laugh. We're going to make sure we laugh. I'm not going to finish 3 hours of doing this every single day, ready to jump off a bridge. That's no. All right, back to Chernobyl. Quit letting me get distracted, Chris. Gosh, what are you even here for? All right, Chernobyl, control room. I'm not going to go over all the labels and names. Just know there are a bunch of technicians in the control room at Chernobyl on the night shift. On the night shift. They were supposed to do the test during the day because that's where the more experienced nuclear dudes were working. They delayed that to the night because the powers that be in the Soviet Union at the time said, well, we need too much power during the day. We don't need to be shutting down any part of the plant. Push it to the night shift. The night shift is where the more inexperienced guys are working. And a man was in charge of the night shift, not an inexperienced guy, but also, by all accounts, a world-class jerk. I mean, you think I'm bad? This guy was apparently mean. I mean, really, really mean to people, everybody. A communist. They called him a party man. He grew up relatively poor, the son of a fisherman, worked his way up to being fairly significant in the Communist Party. He's a man by the name of Dyatlov. Dyatlov. You can go look at pictures of him if you'd like and see what he looked like. Well, Dyatlov is the man in charge. He's very much in charge of all these nuclear technicians when they're running the test. And when you test nuclear power, it is not simply turning a knob up or down. It's not. I can't go into all the technicals of it because I don't know all the technicals, but you have to, you can't turn the power down too low. You can't turn the power up too high, or you lose control of the nuclear process and things can go south really quickly, as we're about to find out. It's not as simple as knob left, knob right, like you and I like to think about. You have to control this process. It's nuclear power. If you don't have it in control at all times, you can find yourself, well, in the situation they're about to find themselves in. They have a manual, a step-by-step manual for how to test. But here's the thing about the manual. Hang on.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say one in three adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's seven members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the one in three could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Pre-Diabetes Awareness Partners.
In the Soviet Union by 1986, they're not new to the communist system. These people have all lived under the communist system now for decades. And one thing they've learned about the communist system, once the system becomes that way, the system is rotted. The system is always wrong. The communist Soviet Union was constantly described as being painted rust. Nothing actually works. Everything's given the appearance of working, but nothing actually works. Dyatlov, if I have to defend the man, yes, he's given a manual. His people are given a manual. And they're told to test the power at 700 to 1,000. Says it right there in the manual. It's clear as day. You can go look at the manual today. 700 to 1,000. But you see, Dyatlov is not new to nuclear testing. And he's not new to the communist system. And he knows one thing about a system that's rotted. You want to know what that one thing is? I'll tell you in just a minute. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly Show. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It's going to be a wild, wild hour. Michael Malice coming up in 30 minutes. You know he's going to have an un-PC take on the air fingers, quote, insurrection at the Capitol. We're going to talk about impeaching the president. I actually have an Ask Dr. Jesse email I'm going to answer it today. There's one. I don't want to wait till Friday. You know, you're welcome to send in your Ask Dr. Jesse emails all week long. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. They don't get thrown away. They don't get lost. The earlier you send it, the better chance there is that it gets answered. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com or email me about anything. I read them all. They all go right to Jewish producer Chris. He prints them. I read them. I won't respond. I get way too many. I'm sorry. That's life. Plus, I'm single parenting this week. I got to talk about that, Chris. Single parenting. I'm basically, I realize it's Medal of Honor Monday today. And in fact, we're going to do Medal of Honor Monday pretty quickly here. It's the one good thing we do all week. We honor our heroes and we talk about what they did. Because unless we remember what they did, then it gets lost. But I'm kind of a hero too, Chris. You wouldn't know. You've never single parented. It's not easy. It's not for everybody. Anyway, back to this. The one thing about a system, once the system's rotted, you learn everything's a lie. Everything's wrong. And you learn to exist within that system and break rules within that system. Not because you're a criminal, not because you want to do wrong. You learn to break rules in a system because it's the only way anything works is if people blatantly defy the system when it's wrong. We've talked about it before when it comes to the communist Soviet Union. You and I cannot possibly relate to this, but they existed. So many of the people there existed on a black market. And when I say black market, I don't mean you kiss the wife and kids goodbye and sneak into the alley to buy some black tar heroin at 2:30 a.m. in the bad part of town. I mean mother, kids, get your coats on. We're going down to the mall. What's the mall? It's a gigantic underground stadium full of illegal markets where you have to go to purchase school supplies. It's time for back to school shopping, kids. Throw your stuff on. We're going to the black market to purchase illegal things so you have stuff. Like I said, when the system gets rotted enough, the one thing everybody understands is the system lies about everything, is wrong about everything, and you must find ways to defy it or your existence is not worth it. You see, the rules told Dyatlov the test should be done between 700 and 1,000 in power. I'm not using all the technical words because it'll just bore you to death. Dyatlov says he wants to do it at 200. His guys freak out, start yelling. He starts yelling back. He insists that he's right. You see, Dyatlov doesn't trust anything he's been told. He drops the power too low. Then they turn it back up. And soon, the power's too high. But here's the problem. He has what are called control rods removed. Don't worry about what they are. Don't worry about these details. But he has them removed. What you need to know about this is control rods for nuclear power. They are the brakes and they are the accelerator. He has them pulled out. Then the power begins to rise and rise and rise and rise. Soon, understand this. This thing is putting out the amount of power that New York City uses in an entire year. They have a major problem on their hands. So they try to put the control rods back. But remember back at the very beginning, all that rotted out system talk? Everything's cost cutting. We have to build the nuclear plants. We don't have the power, but we don't have the money, but hurry. It has to be done fast and it has to be done right. The control rods had a humongous design flaw, and reinserting them caused a huge explosion at the Chernobyl plant, killing two people instantly. creating radioactive dust that begins spreading through the ventilation, spreading through the air. Then they sent firemen there right away with no protective gear, like 50. You can't ever get a straight answer on things. 30 to 50 people died in the aftermath of this from that acute radiation syndrome we discussed in the beginning. It spread across the Western Hemisphere. To this day, Chernobyl, there's a 1,000-square-mile exclusion zone around Chernobyl. Thousands of cases of thyroid cancer. You can't get an answer anywhere about how many people have died in total because of all the cancers. And when I say anywhere, I am not exaggerating. I saw answers everywhere from 4,000 to 100,000. Nobody knows. But this is the part of the story that really got me. This was of all the parts that I dug through hours of this stuff over the weekend. You know what got me the most? There was an explosion in the middle of the night at the nuclear power plant. Of course, the Soviets lied to the surrounding countries about it right after. So yada, yada, yada. You know most of the story, the high points of the story. The part that really got me, you know who was at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant the next morning with a camera in hand? The next morning doing extensive filming? Who did the Soviets send first? The KGB. You see, when a system is rotted, when a system is corrupt, when a system is completely broken, the system begins to prioritize over every other thing the protection of the system itself. The Soviets sent the KGB there the next morning because the Soviets weren't worried about citizens dying, plant workers dying. I mean, yeah, there was some care about that. They weren't worried about spreading radiation across the Western Hemisphere, killing a million people. The Soviets were worried about protecting the Soviet system first, foremost. It was priority 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. The very first thing they did was send the Internal State Security Unit. Do you know why everything seems so upside down right now? Everything in America. One, because it is. But two, the system has rotted out on us. It's turned into this social justice warrior, disgusting pile of cultural Marxist filth. It's everywhere. It's everywhere in the corporate America, the education world, media, Hollywood. It's infected the right. It's all over the right, too. It's everywhere. And everything seems upside down right now because the system is so intent on protecting itself, protecting the people who serve it, making sure the integrity of the system is never, ever questioned. It's gotten so protective of it that it celebrates all the bad and punishes all the good because that's the only way the system can look good. That's why it feels upside down. Because it is. And it's hard to put into words, but you feel it and I feel it. All right. Impeachment, censorship, single parenting. Hang on.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. It's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Go to jakesmintchew.com. That's Jake's Mint chew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.